Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is the one, 95.1 FM, and of course for 50 years come September, 1080 on your AM dial, and we are streaming at kymnradio.net. Turns out it's going to be a beautiful week. I was looking at the forecast for the week, and it's going to be nice, and then Saturday and Sunday comes along, and it's going to be a little bit cooler. Speaking about cool, Friday night was a big night here in Northfield for a young woman by the name of Vanessa Gonzalez. She is the reigning Queen of the Lakes for the Minneapolis Aquatennial, and the Defeated Jesse James Day Committee held a reception for her on Friday night at the Grand Event Center, and an entire entourage of individuals from the St. Paul Carnival, the Minneapolis Aquatennial, and other community celebrations came down or up or over to Northfield to celebrate her reigning as the Queen of the Lakes. And, of course, what's really unique about that is that she replaced a woman named Carolyn Myers, who was Queen of the Lakes the year before. Unprecedented in the Aquatennial history. And coming up maybe next month or certainly in July, I will have both Bill McCreary and Vanessa Gonzalez on the air with me talking about their year of fun and representation of the Aquatennial and, of course, the defeat of Jesse James Day's celebration, Minnesota's third largest all-volunteer committee, and, of course, that third largest celebration in the state of Minnesota. Well, let's get started this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair, an annual event, I think, for about, my goodness, it has to be 15 years for sure, maybe 16 years. I've had the general chairperson of the Lakeville Rotary Club in for a big celebration that's coming up in May, and that, of course, is the Taste of Lakeville, and that's something that really boggles my mind, the amount of dollars they're able to raise and the fun they create each May. And we have Joe Julius with us. And, Joe, welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair.
Thank you. Good morning.
And you're a young whippersnapper.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
I mean, you have all your hair. You have no pot belly. You're good looking. No wrinkles.
I appreciate that. I got a good bald spot going in the back.
Do
I
really?
Hide it well, though. Yeah.
Okay. And, but, you know, generally you think of Rotaries, you think of individuals that may be on a bit in years, you know, successful businessmen or women. And I came in the studios today. I've never met you before. We have a common friend in Steve Ocker, Doc Ock, as we like to call him. And he always arranges for the Rotary chairperson to come on down and chit-chat with me. And my beginning was when you asked me about my prostheses.
I did.
How come you noticed that?
You know, when you walked in the door and they sat down, I saw it. My eyes looked at it, and I just figured I'd ask you right away. It caught my attention, and it, I don't know.
Oh, I thought maybe you were in the business or something.
No. You just, I was, when I saw you walking, when you first came in, you were walking along smoothly, and that caught my eye, and I was just impressed.
Oh, well, what the history behind that is the year that I had the amputation before I had a prosthesis, I was asked to do the auction at Taste of Lakeville, and I remember sitting on a stool on stage. It was indoors. It was raining. It was at the old Catholic church, and I sat there, and I used my, well, what the doctors refer to as a residual limb, I refer to as a stump. And I use that stump when people would bid. I'd just wave my stump at them. Hey, I got a bid over there. So I did that for several years. And
sure. And
now I think they do it in-house, but it's always was a pleasure to help raise funds for the Lakeville Rotary Club with lots and lots of money going. Unbelievable. I'm involved in a lot of fundraisers for charities, and what you guys do in one four-hour period boggles my mind. So let's talk about it. When is it?
Well, it's this Thursday.
This Thursday?
This Thursday from 5 to 9 at the Lakeville Arts Center. I checked the forecast this morning. It's supposed to be getting close to 80. Should be a sunny, beautiful day. And you referenced before in the past we've had some rain, and that's always been a challenge. You can't predict the weather, but or you can try your best. But it should be a pretty nice one, and hopefully it's our biggest one ever this year.
Now, if I recall, they used to have it on the first Thursday, and then they moved it to the second Thursday, or is it second and third? I can't recall which.
I've been in the club for about 9 years, and it's always been around mid-May. May can be a difficult time for scheduling.
What date is Thursday?
May 17th.
So that'd be the second Thursday. Okay, it used to be the first, and the weather thing,
sure.
So they moved it out a week so that they had a better chance of good weather. So you joined the Rotary when you were in junior high?
When I'm not in Rotary, I'm a banker by trade, and when I entered the Lakeville market, working with the bank in there, it was just expected that you join Rotary, and I did that. I loved it. I've been in there ever since, and it's a great organization.
Well, you took a big bite out of being a Rotarian when you take on the challenge of being the chairperson of the event, and we can chit-chat all about that, and then we'll chit-chat about you, and let's talk about it. Each year you seem to add more and more to it. I know about the Wall of Wine. I know they went from two bands to one, and I know that it's fenced in, and I know that you have so many vendors, it's unbelievable. I know you can eat all you want, drink all you want, within reason, and I know you have parking available, and I know that it's, what is it now, $35?
It's $40 for tickets in advance,
okay.
$50 day of or at the gate. So
okay.
We certainly try to do as much in ticket sales before the event, but as we talked about, weather can make people wait to the last minute, which is just fine. We're just happy to have a lot of people show up, and as you mentioned, there's just a plethora of different food vendors there. Within Lakeville and around Lakeville that just all want to serve the Lakeville community, being part of this event, promote their services and their restaurants. We have, I want to say, 34 active booths that will be there, and that includes breweries and distilleries as well. So it should be a really good time, and hopefully it's our biggest one ever.
Now, is this things have really changed in the beer drinking business, and have a lot more. For example, we have two in Northfield and one in Dundas that brew their own beer. Are there people that are home brewers or whatever, small breweries or whatever they call them?
Sure.
Do they take over more space than, let's say, your Budweiser and Miller's and American beers?
Yeah, we don't have any super large brewers. I guess I wouldn't refer to them as super large brewers. Craft breweries has just exploded over the last several years, and we do try and limit the number of beer vendors at the event, really, because we want the focus to be on food. We want the focus to a lot of the restaurants and food vendors that are there. They want to promote their restaurant. They want to promote their catering services and what have you. And there is plenty of wine, plenty of beer, plenty of alcohol to be consumed. But really, we want the focus to be on the restaurants and people just having a good time, and hopefully using those vendors in the future as things come up.
I just remembered a word that I didn't know what it was till somebody explained it to me. Growlers.
Growlers.
Those are big bottles of beer, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, the people that are there allowing folks to taste their home brews or what do you call them? Custom
craft brews.
Craft brews. Mm-hmm. Will they be able to sell a growler to the person?
They won't be able to sell growlers to that person at the event. Although I'm sure there are plenty that at their locations will be able to sell that. But they'll just be able to give away samples on Thursday night at the event.
All right. Now, what are some of the other activities that'll take place besides food and beer and wine tasting.
Well, you mentioned the food, the beer, the wine tasting. There's obviously there's judging that goes on, and there'll be winners at the end of the evening. This year we have a photo booth, which is going to be pretty cool. We haven't done that before, but it gives people an opportunity to get a nice keepsake from what should be a nice night out in Lakeville. On top of that, we have a raffle, wall of wine. There's a couple other raffles that will take place inside the event. There's a big silent auction, great live auction. Mentioned the live music. That's always a big draw. And those are really the key items that are going to be in there. Otherwise, a lot of the taste of Lakeville, we'd like to keep it to what people expect. People pay good money to come out and visit it, and there's always little tweaks and changes that we're going to make. But really what we want is for people to come out, have a good time, hopefully pick up some things at the silent auction, maybe the live auction, and just enjoy enjoy some time with friends and neighbors.
My guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair is Joe Julius, and he is the chairperson of Taste of Lakeville. I'm always interested, what do you have to auction off on a live basis?
Live auctions, you know, the biggest live auction event, and just a big thank you to Brackets Crossing.
Oh, yeah.
They every year, at least every year since I've been part of the event, and this year as well, they're auctioning off a golf membership, which in years past, it's those are difficult to come by. They do a good job of keeping the number of golf memberships fairly containable, so the course doesn't get too crowded. And it can be a pricey item to try and get in there. So this is a great opportunity for people that love golf that would like to experience a private golf club to get in there without as much money spent as maybe they would otherwise.
Now that's on 185th Street.
That's correct.
That's where you gentlemen and ladies meet at what, 7:30 in the morning on Thursdays?
That you got 7 a.m. Thursday
7,
morning.
7 a.m. Yep. I had the pleasure of speaking there one time, and I had the pleasure of auctioning off a golf membership. Mm. And I even remember who bought it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Can you say the name?
I can, because the name is plastered all over this big building that houses a bunch of ice sheets.
Okay.
You know who I mean?
I think I might.
Yeah, Tim. Tim what?
Hossie.
You got it.
All right.
Tim Hossie. And I think the membership at Brackets, now, I could be wrong, but I think it's around 15 grand.
I think that's close to right. I was going to say between 10 to 15.
Yeah, let's say 10, just
sure.
For the fun of it.
Sure.
And I auctioned it off, and I think Tim bought it for like 6.
Yeah, exactly.
And I thought, wow, that's a pretty good deal.
It's a great value.
Yeah. Do you have any flights in airplanes, biplanes, or anything like that?
We don't have any airplanes this year. In years past, we've had some nice exotic trips, timeshares to Maui and what have you. And I expect we'll have more in coming years. But we rely primarily on the membership. Rotarians such as myself look to try and come up with auction items for both live and silent auction, and obviously the live auctions carry the bigger dollars for our event and for our for giving back to the community. So those are pretty key. And when we have someone that has a nice timeshare or something like that that would involve some nice travel, those are a huge bonus. But yeah, we're reliant on people just donating these and keeping our costs down, and it can be fantastic.
I remember one year I did the auction for Make-A-Wish.
Sure.
And holy cow, the items that they had, unbelievable. Trips to Paris.
Oh, yeah.
A trip to a 7, at that time, maybe 747.
Sure.
Simulator.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And fortunately, the pilot was from, the instructor was from Northfield, so he showed me what the people will get when they buy that. And that is really a thrill. So these nonprofit auctions, people are really generous in what they donate. So
oh, they really are. They really are. Divine Swine, and I don't know if you've ever had their food cater. That's just fantastic. They have a great display and a. I mean, you basically get a full meal if you go see their if you go to their booth at the Taste of Lakeville. But they don't, and I hopefully don't hear me and correct me, but they don't really, they're not exactly open to the public where you can walk in and just order a meal. They, all they do is catering. So this is a great opportunity for people that would like to see what they have to offer, and you know, that's part of the live auction, is they're offering an event to people, and it's, yeah, it really is special. It's really cool, and there's a number of other things as well that will be part of the auction.
And you can get a heck of a good deal, and I may be too late for graduations, but for weddings, it's for people that are now into outdoor weddings, it's
sure.
a pretty nice thing to have. And I was thinking there were so many other things. And, of course, is the silent auction in the church?
Yeah, it is, yeah, yeah. It's and you're right, it was the old... I don't want to say the wrong church, so I won't say it at all. But it used to be a church building. Now it's the Lakeville Arts Center, and it's but if you go inside, it looks and feels just like an old church, and it's got a lot of space. And the city of Lakeville is just great, and Lakeville Arts Center has been great with providing that venue for us. And you know, when it is rainy, it's just all the more reason to go inside and take a look at what's going on with the live auction.
You know, I was just thinking, you mentioned caterers, and there's a place here in town called the Quarterback Club.
Oh, sure.
And they, have you been there?
I've been there. They're great food.
Oh, good. Thank you. Unsolicited testimony. They do catering, and you can get chicken, baby back barbecued ribs, burgers, pole sauce, whatever you want.
Sure.
They have a menu that's very extensive. And it's locally owned, locally managed by a guy named that's his brother, Dale Finger. And they've been around for 50 years. The Quarterback Club, of course, is open for breakfast every day, Monday through Saturday from 6 a.m. until 9 a.m., 10 a.m. And in addition to that, they also have people there that have been there for over 40 years. Believe it or not, the morning cook. And the lady that takes your order are husband and wife, Steve and Lori Eastrom.
Sure.
They've been there for over 40 years.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Anyhow, good food, good friends, low prices, quality. They got it all. The QB, the Quarterback Club, right here in Northfield, Minnesota. We'll be back with our guest here on the Wayne Eddy Affair right after this important timeout on KYMN.
Do you have an old junk or car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, we're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair, 21 minutes after 9 o'clock on this beautiful Monday morning. Today is May 14th, and the year is 2018, and my guest this morning is Joe Julius, and he is the general chairman for Lakeville, the Taste of Lakeville. And what band are you going to have there this year?
Ooh, you're putting me on the spot, and I don't remember.
I noticed you didn't bring notes. Yeah.
I brought my book, but that was one thing I didn't write down as the name of the band. So I'm sure.
Is it the same old, which is good,
you know,
by the way.
In the past, we had a group that that came year in year out and did just a fantastic job.
Remember the name? Not the Nerds.
The Dweebs.
The
think.
Dweebs. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't have the program in front of me that has the name of the band, so I'm just going to go ahead and apologize in advance for not having that handy.
Well, maybe somebody will call and say, hey, the name of the band is...
Oh, I'm sure I'll get a text somewhere.
your buddy Steve is in a band.
Yeah?
So he probably pays attention to that stuff.
Steve Ocker?
Yeah.
Really?
You didn't know that?
I didn't know he was in a band.
No, he's an excellent bass guitarist.
Oh, he needs to be performing at the Taste of Lakeville, I think.
I would think so. I think he should be able to do solos.
Well, I'll be involved in the event again next year, so we're going to get him lined up.
So, anything else that you're trying that's new this year besides what you've mentioned? The picture thing, that's where you get in the tent and you look goofy and wear hats and do dumb things.
Yeah.
Make faces.
Yeah, it's a larger photo booth than what you might see at a wedding. I think I want to say this can fit up to 24 people in it, so it's a pretty big booth. And that's one of the live auction items as well. If you have an event coming up, that's something that this group has donated and is certainly willing to willing to show it off at the event on Thursday. So that should be a lot of fun. As far as new stuff, there's not a lot of new things that are different from previous years, and a little bit that's just by design, just to let people are paying good money. They should expect
to try to fix what isn't broken.
You got it.
And of course, the ticket sales are $40 in advance and $50 at the door.
You got it.
And the tickets are available, I would assume, at some outlets and individual Rotarians.
Yeah, individual Rotarians. We're all charged with selling tickets, so we're happy to sell them. If you know someone in the Lakeville Rotary or would like to get a hold of me, just let us know, and we'd be happy to get you some. Otherwise, within the city, I can read off a few.
Sure.
if that's okay. There's a couple Ace Hardwares in store or in town that are offering tickets. TR's Barbers, they do a great job if you need a haircut, but they'll also sell you tickets. Lakeville Arts Center, you can buy them there. Lakeville Liquors, a number of banks, and I'll just run through them quickly. Citizens Bank, Lakeview Bank, Sterling State Bank, Franzen Bank, New Market Bank, and obviously, of course, the tasteoflakeville.org is another outlet to get them.
All right. And as I said, it's you said $40 in advance, $50 at the door.
That's correct.
Now, here's an advantage that I think that your club has. Number one, is a very active club.
Yes, sir.
And number two, it has a generally large membership. This is radio. If you shake your head up and down, yes, they can't hear that. Okay.
Sure.
And number three... And this is the part that is probably beneficial to your success. Don't you assign like 10 tickets to every member, which is $40, which is $400, and you don't want any tickets returned. You want the cash.
Oh, that's correct. That's correct. We have just shy of 100 members. In fact, when I say just shy, I think probably 98, 99 members. And everyone's given different years. We've given different amounts. This year, everyone got six tickets and an invoice. So it's expected that you sell them or you donate the money and give them out to friends and family. That's a great way to promote the event. We also go around selling raffle tickets before the event for the Wall of Wine. Wall of Wine is it's always a big deal, and it's always fun to see the reactions of people when they get this. Well, giant wall of wine with 100 bottles of wine in it. It's usually a pretty well received a prize when people win it. So,
well, do you remember that year when after a few wine and beer tastings, a bunch of men and women gathered around the wall of wine and sang 100 bottles of wine on the wall, 100 bottles of wine.
I wasn't there for that, but I could see that being quite a scene.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun.
I would start something like that, but it's 927 on 1080 Radio, KYMN out of Northfield, Minnesota, the home of Kyle's Colleges and Contentment. And we're 1080 on your AM dial, streaming at kymnradio.net. Anybody in the world can listen if they have access to a computer or a smartphone. And now, 95.1 FM, the one. And my guest this morning on Kim is a gentleman by the name of Joe Julius. And are you called JJ?
I've been called that from time to time, sure.
What's your middle name?
Well, I actually go by my middle name is Joe. I use my middle name. My first name's Nicholas.
Nicholas?
Yeah.
You didn't like Nick or Nicky?
No, I do. I just, for whatever reason, when I was in junior high, we made a move to a new town, and I thought, well, what the heck? Let's go by a new name. Okay. So I went by my middle name from that point on, and Yeah, but I like the name Nick. My son is, I named him Nick, so I can't say I dislike the name, otherwise my son would be upset.
Is he a junior?
Yes, he's Nick Jr.
Okay, how old is he?
13.
Okay.
13, so he's in middle school, and right now the only people that still call me by my first name are my parents, and I don't think I'm going to be breaking them of that habit anytime soon.
So do you echo your mother when she used to say, Nicholas, Joseph, Julius, get your bed made right now?
Yeah, you know what? It's amazing. It's amazing the shrills that go down my spine when I hear those words coming out of my mouth, but it's effective.
How many kids do you have?
I have 2 kids.
All right. Okay. And let's start in. Once again, Joe is representing the Lakeville Taste of Lakeville. He's the chairperson of that particular event. And I do want to remember something that the ever-curious gardener is described as an irreverent romp through the natural science of plants and soil. It's ideal for newer gardeners to experience gardeners whose curiosity at the wonders of cultivation grows deeper each season. Now on today's 15 with the author, Lee Reyes, the author of The Ever Curious Gardener, Using a Little Natural Science for a Much Better Garden, is Terry Knight's guest at 11 o'clock this morning. They talk about why gardeners and farmers shouldn't till soil, the timing of watering weeds, how to use microclimates in our landscapes, and a lot more that I don't understand, but we'll probably get a better understanding once I listen to the show at 11 o'clock this morning on KYMN. Right now it's 9:29, and we're going to continue our conversation with Joe Julius. And Joe, I am going to first of all ask you, what community were you born in?
Sure. I was born in Newark, Ohio.
What is Newark, Ohio?
Newark, Ohio is a town just outside of Columbus. So, I was raised an Ohio State fan for that reason, but
okay.
Unfortunately also a Cleveland sports fan. That hasn't worked out so well.
No. Well, you know, did you see the special they had on Cleveland and its fans?
Oh, yeah.
And how disappointing it was, and how LeBron James came to the rescue and is trying to do it again.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's kind of a sad tale. But the thing I remember most about Cleveland is I was a hardcore Viking fan and a reporter for, you know, the late 60s all the way through the 70s and 80s. And I just remember the guys in the end zone with the pig noses. I thought that was so cool. What are they called, dog?
Dog Pound.
Dog Pound, yeah.
Yep.
So anyhow, I thought that show was quite interesting.
Sure, sure.
And Cleveland, of course, it gets a bad rap all the way around. But I don't know, were you raised
No.
In Cleveland?
Okay. My dad was born and raised there, so that's where the Cleveland fan base got inbred in. But no, we moved to Minnesota when I was just a baby, and moved all over in the Twin Cities. But pretty much, I align myself with Bloomington. That's where I went to high school and middle school.
Oh, we'll get there.
Oh,
1981, okay. Is that the year you were born?
1980,
okay. And it amazes me what the generation or two behind me are doing, and I appreciate the fact that you're involved in being a part of your community, doing what you do with the Rotary Club. I was a member here, and I was president of the Lions Club and in the JCs, which... are they still going in Lakeville?
So. Lakeville. Yeah, you know, I don't see the JCs too much in Lakeville.
Okay.
I can't say I know of anyone in JCs, but every now and then I'll see that name pop up.
You ever heard of a guy named Jim Eamon?
Yeah, a realtor?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, I've known him.
Well, him and I grew up together.
No kidding.
No, not I lived in St. Paul, he lived in Lakeville.
Okay.
He partied in St. Paul. I partied in Lakeville out at, don't tell Antlers Park.
Won't do it.
Lake Marion.
Lake Marion,
yeah. That was back in the 50s.
Sure.
Oh, man, we had fun. Oh, man. And so 1980, you're just a puppy, and so you associate with Bloomington.
I do.
Okay, now what part of Bloomington?
West Bloomington.
So that would be Jefferson?
You got it.
Okay. Yeah. So did you live in tract housing?
We had a nice house right along the river, not far from it. After school, once in a while, we'd walk down to the river and do some fishing. Didn't have a lot of success in the river, but...
And the Minnesota River?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. And down by, where would you go fishing?
Oh, just wherever, I couldn't tell you exactly where it was. We'd walk down where we'd see an opening on the river and probably areas we weren't supposed to be in either.
And did you catch anything?
Not really.
No
not
carp?
Really. No. I had friends that would, but I was never a really good fisherman. When I was young, my dad would take me out on the boat and we would do okay then, but... Never caught anything going in the river. Just watched my friends do it.
Did you, when you went out on the boat with your dad, was that on the river or lake or both?
Well, we'd go to lakes. We'd go to various lakes around the Twin Cities and beyond. And, you know, this was fishing opener. So this was last weekend. We don't go anymore, but it would have been our annual voyage out to some place where we'd freeze our tails off.
And, oh, boy, I know all about that. I was to over 25 in a row, and then I broke that this year. I didn't go because my wife had something she was putting on for the ambassador program here in town, and she asked if I would help her.
Sure.
And I had, you know, she said to me, oh, Wayne, did you know that the night at the Grand is the same as a fishing opener? I said, oh, yeah. I said, I'm sorry I'm going to miss that. And I got in a very nice, sweet way. You know, I said, "Hey, who's more important, my wife?
You did the right
thing. Or fishing for 25 plus years fishing?"
Sure.
And I thought this year I can handle it, and I guess even the governor caught three bass.
Is that right?
On Green Lake in Wilmer.
No kidding.
Or some people say Spicer.
Sure.
They
sure.
call it Wilmer. Next year it's in Albert Lea.
Okay.
And I know there's two lakes. Yeah. And Albert Lea, but I don't consider them big-time fishing. But
sure.
You go there for the community and have
fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's 9:34 on 1080 Radio. And are you an only child?
No. I have a younger brother.
Well, who's the oldest in your family?
Well, my sister, Tanya.
Tanya.
Yep.
Okay. Now, when Tanya was a young girl, is she much older? Plus what?
She's about 10 years older.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Then so, after Tanya?
So after Tanya, then Kelly.
Kelly?
Yep.
Okay.
And she's a couple years older than me, about 3 years older.
Okay.
And I have a sister, Erin, who's...
After Kelly?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. And so her name is Erin.
Erin, yep. And she got married to a guy named Erin, so that just adds to more confusion.
Erin and Erin went down to the well. How much older is Erin?
Erin's a year older than me.
Okay.
Yep. And then my little brother is 3 years
younger
than me.
So then it's you.
Yep.
And then after Joe, it's you, or who?
Chris.
Chris.
My brother Chris.
Your brother.
Yep.
Okay, how much younger?
3 years.
Okay.
Approximately.
Anybody after Chris?
That's a good list for me.
Poor Tanya.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, she had to do the babysitting and clean up and watch after and all that.
She did a great job.
And then, of course, I can just imagine what Erin and Kelly went through in regards to clothes.
Oh, yeah.
And different items like that. And then, of course, you're the big brother to Chris, so
sure.
He idolized you.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. Now he's off. He works for the State Department now and just doing IT stuff, and he gets to travel all around the world. So now I'm jealous of him for all his travels.
Now, when you were growing up in Bloomington in those days at Jefferson, I know Jefferson as a great band, a fantastic band.
Sure, okay.
And then, of course, there's hockey and,
yep.
and other things that they do. But what did your dad do?
What did my dad do?
Yeah.
My dad was, he worked for Target for many, many years. He was a senior buyer of sporting goods.
Oh.
And, yeah, really, really loved it. Did a great job. Retired from there maybe... 10, 15 years ago. I would say probably about 15 years ago. And started his own business on the other side of things, where he would go represent sporting good companies to companies like Target. So he's always been on either side of the sales spectrum his corporate career.
So he had connections at Target.
He had connections, indeed. Yeah. Indeed.
So did you ever get to go on a buying trip with him?
I never did. He would go to Hong Kong a couple times a year, and you know, I was always young and in school, and I don't think I would have been. I don't know what I would have done in Hong Kong with him at that time. What I do remember is every spring he'd have tent shows where he would have Coleman and other vendors give them samples of tents, and he'd have people come out and take a look at them. So I'd come home from school, and both my front and backyard would be completely covered in tents. And it would be quite a scene, and we'd always end up getting to hang on to one or two, but they were all samples. And so that was the most time I got to spend with my dad doing work stuff, and it was just seeing people come through and take a look at all the tents in our yard.
Did you get to go in and out of them? And
oh, yeah.
While they were showing them so that prospective buyers could see how kids utilize them?
Sure. Well, it probably wasn't encouraged by my dad to do that, but hey, with probably 100 tents in our yard, it's easy to hide in one, and every now and then someone would take a look, and they'd get a nice surprise when they'd find kids in the tent.
Yeah. Must have had a big yard.
Yeah, it was a city lot, but my dad was pretty good at putting those things together in a neat and orderly way to get as many in as he possibly could.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, yeah.
Did you have a favorite?
Oh, boy, good question. I don't know that I had a favorite. Any tent that had multiple rooms was probably my favorite.
Tents have multiple rooms?
Yeah. There's a lot of tents that will have two different rooms and a common place inside. Now, those are obviously the larger tents. But, you know, if you're going with a family and if there's going to be six of you in there, it's nice to have a little bit of separation.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. How about the stoves and the other stuff you need when you go camping? Did he set that up too around the tents?
No, unfortunately, we never got to play around with any of that fun stuff.
Now, did you guys go camping?
Not too much as a kid. We try and go camping now. I take my wife and my kids and I will go camping. We're just kind of starting to get into it and do a little bit more. There's so many great places to go camping around here. You feel like you're missing out if you don't take advantage of that.
Yeah, we have Nerstrand Woods right over here.
Sure, yeah.
It's 20 minutes before 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is Joe Julius, and he is the chairperson for the Taste of Lakeville, and we're chit-chatting about his growing up in Bloomington. We'll be back in just a minute and a half.
Traveling to Target Field ain't like dusting crops, Twins fans. So gather up your crew and take a mission to Target Field for Star Wars Night on Tuesday, May 22nd. The first 10,000 rebels, scoundrels, and fans joining us will get a Twins Star Wars t-shirt or purchase a special ticket package that includes a Joe Solo collectible bobblehead. Because hokey theme nights and ancient giveaways are no match for an exclusive talking Joe Solo. That's how we use the Force. This is how we baseball. Visit twinsbaseball.com/Star Wars.
Hey, you. It's your stomach again. I'm here to set things straight. Subway has new signature wraps, and they're packed with meat. These things make me full. Full like your voicemail after you win the lottery. Full like a clown car on the way to an oversized shoe convention. Full like the turkey, bacon, and guacamole signature wrap, loaded with provolone, lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and ranch. Full like I'm going to be after you get to Subway and eat one. You're welcome. All new Subway signature wraps. Subway. Make it what you want.
Wenzel Heating and Air Conditioning in Eagan is a customer-focused company that employs highly trained people whose goal is to be the best service company in the 13-county metro area. When you deal with Wenzel HVAC, you can expect a positive working environment, practical advice and suggestions, flexible payment options, cutting-edge technology, headache-free maintenance, a dedication to service, and technical excellence. Serving the South Metro, Wenzel HVAC in Eagan. call 651-894-9898.
Live and in color from our studios in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. And we see people walking up and down Division streets, students, professors, business people. And, of course, we're looking forward to the hanging flowers, pots that they put on the lamppost each spring. And they grow all during the summer. They're just beautiful. Another way to make our community prideful. And speaking about pride, we got a gentleman in studio who's very proud of the Taste of Lakeville, an annual event. This year it will be held on Thursday. And Joe Julius is the chairperson, but now we're chit-chatting about he and his family, including his sisters, Tanya, Kelly, Aaron, and his little brother, Chris. Kelly's a girl, right?
Kelly's a girl. That's
okay.
Correct.
So, all right, got that right. So it's A-A-R-O-N and E-R-I-N for Aaron and Aaron.
You got it.
That has to be confusing.
Oh, it is. It is.
Hello, is Aaron there, please? I'm sorry. Not here. Well, then may I please speak to Aaron?
Yep.
Okay. So there you are in Bloomington on a nice lot. Dad shows tents there and all that. Did you ever, how far were you from a Target store?
How far were we from a Target store? You know, it's from where we lived, there we really were not close at all to a Target store. You know, we lived, if you're familiar with Bloomington, if you know where the Dred Scott Park is, big softball fields and basketball courts and what have you, that was the area that we lived in. And I want to say the closest Target to that would have been either in Eden Prairie Center or all the way to 494 in Penn, where the Southtown Target is. That's so, yeah, for being connected with Target as close as we were, really weren't very close to Target.
Well, the reason I asked that is I wondered if ever as a kid, when I was a kid, it was a big deal to go downtown St. Paul.
Sure.
And there'd be places you've never heard of, the Golden Rule, the Emporium, Neisner's, Three Sisters, Field Schlick, Young Quinlan. And I knew all of these stores. I'd hitchhike downtown and we'd hang and hitchhike home. And I was wondering if you as a kid ever got to go in a Target store with your buddies and say, hey, see that lantern there? My dad made that possible. He bought that for Target. Did you ever?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Oh, yeah. Whenever I'd go to Target and I'd be, not with family, but with friends, it's, I have to show off. I'd have to show off to my friends what all the stuff and in the sporting goods area and say, hey, my dad picked that. That's there because my dad was there. And I don't know. Maybe I embellished a little bit to my friends at the time. I think we all do that when we're kids. But yeah, it was a source of pride. You know, my sister's first job was at Target, so you know we were a Target family for sure.
I can relate to that. Although my mother and father divorced when I think I was in the seventh grade, but when my sister and I would go to a movie. And at the end of the movie, they'd run credits, and then they put the sound as Western Electric.
Mm.
And they, my dad works here. My dad works at Western Electric, you know. So just like your, my dad.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. But you didn't get to go on buying trips with
no,
him.
No, I didn't get to go on. I didn't get to go do too many fun stuff.
All right. How about when you were a kid growing up in Bloomington?
Mm-hmm.
What grade school did you go to?
Well, elementary school, I bounced around quite a bit. Lived in Edina, lived in Richfield, lived in Eden Prairie, lived in Bloomington, lived out in Portland, Oregon for a while. So I really wasn't in any one grade school probably for more than a year or two. So.
How come bouncing around so much within the Twin Cities?
Well, like you, my parents got divorced as well.
Oh, okay.
And, just lots of moving around.
Your parents are divorced?
They are.
Oh, my gosh.
My parents actually got divorced, remarried, and divorced again.
Okay.
So that all adds to
good
the
movie. Good for Christmas, wasn't it?
We'd get good payouts on Christmas,
you
that's
know,
for sure.
You know, six grandparents and
yeah.
things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. We'd take advantage of it as much as we could.
Did your mom work?
She did, yeah. Yeah, my mom has a law firm currently in Prior Lake, Julius Law Office. So, a family law firm, and she's been doing that, gosh, I want to say close to 20 years now.
Was she a divorce attorney?
She was, yeah.
Oh, your poor dad. Is Julius Italian?
Actually, Julius is, I want to say Lithuanian.
Lithuanian?
It's either Ukrainian or Lithuanian. I want to say Lithuanian.
Well, and you should know.
Well, when my dad's family came over through Staten Island, they actually had a different name. It was like Degulius or something like that. And they were forced to change it to Julius.
That was your grandparents or great-grandparents?
Great-grandparents.
Okay.
Yep.
So you said Staten Island?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Well, when they came over to New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Ellis Island is that what you're thinking?
Oh, yeah, that's probably what I'm yeah, that would be it.
Okay.
Thanks for the correcting me.
Well, I didn't do it to embarrass you.
No, okay. You're fine.
So, do you or does anybody in your family on the Julius side have heritage? You're talking about Lithuanian, etc.
Yeah.
I mean, can you look up your tree?
Yeah, I haven't done much of that. My dad has done some. He's half Ukrainian, half Lithuanian. And a lot of his family obviously was out east in Cleveland, and then a lot of them moved over to just outside Scranton, Pennsylvania. So when I would go visit there as a young lad, there would be, the Julius family kind of occupied several city blocks of that town.
Well, so. Was there a heritage there? They spoke Lithuanian?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, did you kind of go like, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah, well, my grandma had a little bit of a, she could talk the talk and could make some great dishes. Pierogies were my...
Pierogies?
Oh, yeah.
What's a pierogi?
A pierogi is, I liken it to ravioli, except it's stuffed with different things, but it's the same kind of thing. It's a noodle, a giant noodle kind of wrapped around, stuffed with
sour
potatoes,
cabbage?
Eggs. Oh, you'd put sour cream, you'd have kielbasa, you'd have all sorts of things along with it. Just a great dish.
Now, that would be your grandmother on your father's side.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. And did you get to know your grandmother and grandfather then?
Sure, yeah. Not super well. They died when I was younger, but I think my grandma died when I was about 20.
Oh, so you have memories.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, did you ever spend Christmas there?
Never spent Christmas out there.
Thanksgiving?
No, it was probably just a handful of trips kind of throughout the years. And, some of my greatest memories were just when I was really young. And, walking with my grandpa down to Bingo's deli down the street from the house and grabbing subs. And just, the little things you think of with your grandparents. The smell of pipe tobacco and the constant flow of Wrigley's Spearmint gum that my... Grandpa would distribute.
Yeah, I remember Juicy Fruit.
Sure, yeah.
What about his job? What did your grandfather and your dad's side do for a living?
Yeah, my grandpa, he was always obviously retired as when I knew him, but he worked in mining for many, many years, and I think had some health issues that stemmed from that, so maybe retired fairly early, but obviously World War II vet. Grandparents on both sides were World War II vets, and my grandpa on my mom's side was in the appraisal business, so they had their own appraisal firm for a number of years, and so I got to know them probably a little bit better and see them more often.
And where did they live?
Bloomington.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they're much closer for Christmas and Easter and all of that.
Yep.
So did your grandfather ever tell you or your dad ever tell you about being a miner?
No. I was, when my grandpa passed away, my grandma passed away when I was about 20. My grandpa when I was about 17. And probably about 5 or 6 years prior to that, I really hadn't seen them too much. Grandpa wasn't always in the best of health, and they would occasionally come up here and we'd go fishing, or I'd go down there. But really didn't talk too much about his work life, and it's something that looking back at it now, you regret. You know, you'd love to hear some of those stories. You know, the more I talk to my grandparents, or well, it used to be my grandparents, now my or my in-laws, and you hear all sorts of stories. You really start to appreciate them now more than you did then.
Well, that's why I like to do this show, and I've mentioned many times I would love to have the opportunity to sit down for 2 hours and talk to both my mother and my father and my both sets of grandparents. And it would be fascinating, but I don't know that much about them.
Right.
And I'm not going to get on the computer. And I have cousins that do that, though. So did you have any association? You said Columbus?
Correct, just outside Columbus.
Yeah. Was that a rubber factory town, or was that more?
Newark?
Well, wherever your dad was it working in the mines.
Your
grandfather.
Yeah, I should preface that I was adopted.
Okay.
So
I have an adopted daughter.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I see we got something in common.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So I was adopted. My my birth family was from Newark. When my parents picked me up, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it, they had just moved to the Columbus area from San Diego. My dad was in the Navy for many years and took a job out that direction and only lived in the Columbus area for a short period of time. So at that point, I believe my grandparents were still in Cleveland. And, you know, I really don't know where the mining was or where that came from at that point.
I get it. Now, when you say your dad, are you talking about your biological, or are you talking? You're talking about dad.
Correct.
You got
it.
I get it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
And what about all these siblings that you have?
Well, it's a blended family.
Yeah.
My oldest sister Tanya was not adopted, nor was my youngest brother. They both came from
Chris.
My only brother, I guess.
Yeah.
My Kelly and Aaron were they came from when my dad remarried after the divorce, that they then became my siblings. So
did you know we're going to get this detailed when you came on?
Well, I would have written notes. I should have been more prepared.
Yeah, well, it's just fun because the generation now, the younger the graduates of 2018, where will they be in 10 years?
Sure.
I mean, this is a country that's wide open to travel, always has been. But the nucleus seems to be
eroded.
Thank you. that happens. So anyhow, it's nice to learn about a family and all of the fun things. Even brothers that were a year apart that fought each other.
Sure.
And then the younger brother all of a sudden gets stronger and the older brother gets wiser and quits picking on him.
Sure.
Things like that. That get a lot of fun. And so your mom was an attorney. Now, did you ever go down and sit around her office waiting to go someplace?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Tell me what that was like.
You know, that was a lot of fun. You know, at that point, there were... It was a family office. You know, it wasn't abnormal for kids to be there, but, and still to this day, my daughter would, my wife used to work, with my mom at the law office. And my daughter, who's 10 years old, would go in there on days that she didn't have school and, you know, would help with billing and, you know, all the different stuff. And, you know, as an adult, you look back at that those sorts of little jobs that we did as kids. You look back at that and like, wow, these are pretty important legal documents that we're helping out with. And
well, when you said that, a lot of my community fellow Northfielders know that I went through some legal hassle, not criminal, civil.
Sure,
won everything, cost me a fortune. Mm. And now I know why. Some 10-year-old kid was doing the billing. Final break before 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is Joe Julius.
Are you tired of that icky old shower, crumbling old tile, or outdated bathtub? Rebath can help in as little as one day. Rebath is locally owned and would be glad to meet with you for a free estimate. Call us today at 1-800-BATH-TUB to turn that old bathroom into new.
We're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio out of Northfield. Right now, it is 9:56:27, and Joe Julius is my guest here this morning. He was born in 1980, class of 1999. That's kind of cool. I imagine you are a Prince fan, huh?
You know what? I'm in a big minority of not being a particularly big Prince fan.
I admired him. Didn't listen to his music. Maybe I'd recognize one or two of his songs.
Sure.
But I did see him on stage, and I mean, that guy and
he can
people
perform.
Like him and Michael Jackson and James Brown, and it's just amazing the amount of energy they spend.
Phew. Yeah, quite performers, that's for sure.
My claim to fame as a former sister-in-law, I had a friend who was Prince's cousin.
Oh.
And they visited the house in Northfield.
Sure.
Not
sure.
Prince, the cousin.
That's Prince's cousin, yep.
Isn't it funny how people like to associate?
Hey, oh, yeah.
I knew. So do I know.
It's the 6 degrees of separation.
Amen. Thank you. I'm chewing the fat with Joe Julius. And, Joe, you bounced around the Twin City area. So when you finally landed in middle school, where were you?
Olson Middle School in Bloomington.
Okay, and yeah. Is that a feeder for Jefferson?
It is. In fact, they share, well, they're across maybe a plot of land from each other, so you can walk to the other one and not lose your breath.
Was Jefferson 9 to 12?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. You were a BMOC?
Sure.
In your junior, in junior high?
You got it, yep.
Okay, the reason I ask that, folks, is that you're tall. Let me guesstimate. I would say you're about 6'3", and I would say that you probably weigh 206 pounds.
Yeah, close. I'm about 6'1", and I tipped the scales at 199 today.
Okay,
so
that's close.
Yeah, it's a pretty good guess.
Okay, so in junior high, were you a fast grower physically? Were you like ahead of the rest of the kids?
Yeah, I was always on the taller end of things. There's always the trees in school, but I was never one of them. But I was usually on the taller side.
Were you a jock?
You know, I was. I loved basketball. That was probably basketball and football were my two passions. Didn't play them in high school. Stopped after middle school, and that had more to do with just we had changed schools at that time, and it's more challenging than I think a lot of parents might recognize to switch schools when you're 15 years old.
How many schools did you go to?
Oh, boy.
Let's count them during the news break.
Okay, sounds
good.
And
then you can tell me. I'll write mine down.
Okay.
And we'll see.
We'll compare.
Yeah.
Okay,
all
sounds
right?
good.
All right, we're going to be taking a break here shortly. And one of the other things I'm going to ask you when we come back is that if you played a little football, a little basketball in junior high,
sure.
No matter whom I speak to, you always remember one play in each sport. You'll never forget. Nobody's ever going to ask you about it again. You can't just walk up to somebody and say, hey, do you know when I was in the eighth grade?
Sure.
But I'm going to ask that question. So you think about that.
Oh, I'm ready.
Oh, okay. So it's there.
It's there.
All right. We're going to take a break on the Wayne Eddy Affair. This is KYMN Radio out of Northfield, Minnesota. We are the one, 95.1 FM, 1080 on your AM dial. It's 10 o'clock.
U.S. Embassy opens. Olive Branch for Chinese Company. I'm John Trout.
I welcome you to the opening and dedication of the United States Embassy in Jerusalem, Israel.
U.S. Ambassador to Israel David Friedman among those celebrating the opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. A video message from President Trump was delivered to the assembled crowd.
Today we officially open the United States Embassy in Jerusalem. Congratulations. It's been a long time coming.
The relocation of the diplomatic headquarters from Tel Aviv has infuriated Palestinians. Israeli fire has reportedly killed at least 41 Palestinians in protests today along the Gaza Strip. In a surprising overture to China, President Trump says he would help Chinese telecommunications company ZTE get back into business. A Commerce Department sanction was placed against the company after accusations they misled American regulators.
The White House later clarifying in a statement that President Trump expects Secretary Ross to exercise his independent judgment, consistent with applicable laws and regulations, to resolve the regulatory action involving ZTE based on its facts. In February, the heads of U.S. intelligence warned Congress about the cybersecurity threat ZTE poses.
Correspondent Jeff Zeleny. A new fissure in Hawaii's Puna district sent gases and lava exploding into the air, spurring officials to call for more evacuations as residents await a possible major eruption of the Kilauea volcano.
2,000 people remain under mandatory evacuations. 2,000 more remain ready to bug out on a moment's notice.
There's Jim Roop following the story. U.S. markets are opening on Wall Street in positive territory. Sears Holdings Corporation says a special committee of its board is starting a formal process to explore the sale of its Kenmore brand and related assets. I'm John Trout.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
We're back live and in color from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota. 10:03 is the time, and this is the 95.1 FM and KYMN 1080 AM radio. My guest this morning is Joe Julius, and Joe is the chairperson of the Taste of Lakeville, an annual visit from the chairperson each year on KYMN Radio. It's coming up this Thursday, and Joe and I were going to compare how many different schools we went to, and you bounced around the Twin Cities southern suburb area, and because of divorce, I did the same thing. So the answer is, how many did you attend?
I came up with 7 prior to middle school, or prior to high school, I should say.
Okay, so high school would be 8.
High school would be 8, correct.
Okay, I have 10.
You have 10, so you got me beat.
Uh-huh. And I'm so proud of that. Actually, when I think back about it, it was kind of fun because you meet different people, different... I lived in a poor neighborhood in Indianapolis, and my best buddy's father was an attorney.
Sure.
And he had a maid and everything.
Really?
I mean, it was unbelievable. And they had a big yard, and they had all this stuff. And I'd always go to his house after school.
Sure, sure.
And then the nanny, I guess you'd say, would greet us with... warm cookies. I'm not kidding.
Oh,
warm cookies and milk.
That's amazing.
Then we'd go up to his room and look at National Geographic magazines. Oh, I give up too much about myself. Well, Joe, you went to 8, so now here's the question. You were not the tallest,
right,
but you were of the taller side. So let's do football first.
Okay.
What's that one play in middle school when you played football? What position did you play, and what happened? You can be as detailed as you want.
Well, my best story is actually on the baseball side, but
we'll do them all. Let's do football first.
Starting at football, I don't know that I have one particular play, but what I can say is that my last 2 years, 7th grade and 8th grade, at that point I lived in Edina, and our team was really good. We, in football at that age, you don't travel too far, but, you know, we'd play against Minnetonka, Eden Prairie, Hopkins, and what have you.
The Hornets.
That's right. We didn't lose a game for 2 years, won the championship game both times, and last one was on my birthday, and it was one of the better days of my life as a teenager.
Well, what happened?
We blew away our competition.
Well, what position did you play?
Oh, I was a tight end.
How many touchdowns did you catch?
You know, they wouldn't do a lot of passing to me. I don't know why. I had good hands, but the coach didn't want to throw me the ball.
Okay.
So, but I could seal the line pretty well and make sure our running backs got downfield, and I was a pretty darn good blocker.
Okay. Well, yeah. Let's talk about basketball.
Basketball, sure. Yeah, same deal. When we moved from Bloomington, when we played in Edina. Yeah, I like to think I was pretty good. I had a pretty good jump shot, good crossover dribble. When we moved over to Jefferson, to the Jefferson side of things, and I had tried out and didn't make the traveling team that last run, so didn't have too much for a lot of excitement there. But when I did play, I was a pretty good spot up shooter and could get the ball kicked out to me and could
forward
from three. Yeah, I ended up playing a lot of small forward or power forward. I didn't like playing center too much. My post up game was never as good as I would have liked it to have been.
A lot of elbows,
and I was a skinny little kid at the time.
Didn't
have the muscle.
Now baseball.
Okay, so baseball. So, and this again happened 2 years in a row. We were in championship games, and during the championship games, you know, we were, and it's just funny how the same thing happened 2 years in a row. We were big deficits. We were just getting smoked, and at the, you know, the bottom half of the last inning, we started making our rallies, and in each situation, we had the bases loaded with two outs. You know, bottom of the, I think we played six innings at the time, so bottom of the sixth inning. And we're down by one run, and I'm on deck. And the guy in front of me struck out. So I never got my opportunity to hit the game-winning, championship-winning, you know, home run or single or whatever I would have done. I wasn't a great hitter, so maybe it just saved me from striking out and carrying that with me. But, you know, to this day, I like to say I left my best swings in the dugout in the championship games.
So let's move you up to high school.
Sure.
And when you got into high school, of course, the enrollment was much larger.
Sure.
There were feeder schools going to Jefferson. And so you decided, I'm not going to get involved in athletics. So did you get involved at all? Were you in theater, or were you in speech, or were you any, you know, like president of the...
Yeah, I drifted more to music, actually.
Oh, okay.
I was in a small little rock band in high school, and, you know, at that time I had long hair halfway down my back, and, yeah, wasn't a particularly good singer, but I had long hair, so it worked out great to be in a rock band in high school, so...
What instrument?
A singer.
Oh, you were the lead?
I was the lead singer.
You were up front, the front man.
I was the front man, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And what songs would you sing?
Oh, it was a 90s kind of rock alternative. So, you know, bands like Nirvana is probably the biggest one that I'll bring up. That was, you know, it was that kind of genre of music, and that was kind of our thing, and that was what we did. And, you know, if you listened to Nirvana, you didn't have to have the best voice to do it. You just had to be able to yell.
Was that the Manson era, the long fingernails?
No. The Marilyn Manson was a little... that was towards the... They got big kind of towards the end of my run. So.
Okay, so where would you play?
Oh, I just school-related stuff, and, you know.
We
wouldn't go out on gigs or anything.
No?
It was more just, we were young teenagers, probably too young to get into bars. So it's we're in a lot of venues for a high school rock band. So.
And what was your favorite emulation, or who did you emulate? Nirvana?
Nirvana, are you familiar with a band called Jane's Addiction?
I've heard of it.
You've heard of Jane's Addiction.
There's somebody in that band that's pretty intelligent, if I remember correctly.
Either Perry Farrell is the lead singer, and he's kind of a musical genius, I guess you could say. He's a just ask him. I'm sure he'd love to tell you how smart he is. So he was probably him and there's another band called Rage Against the Machine that was really big at that time. And the members of the band and myself, we love their music, so we would love to cover songs of theirs. And again, not a lot of vocal talent was needed at that time. So if you had long hair and could yell into a microphone, you could kind of get away with a lot of stuff. But
yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
You had to have a lot of guts.
Oh, yeah.
Now, did you do the typical thing of bending over so your hair would flow in front of your face and then shake it back?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was, if I didn't do that, I really wouldn't have brought much more to the table.
Did you ever do any Rolling Stone?
No, none of that. It's a, you know, it's interesting because, you know, as I mentioned, I have a 13-year-old son now. And I took him to his first rock concert last year. We went and saw Guns N' Roses. And he was a big Guns N' Roses fan, so I prepped him early. I said, look, here's what you can expect. There's going to be a lot of this, that, and the other thing. And, yeah, he handled it just fine. And now, since that point, all the music I loved, he's now adopted a lot of that himself, and he's mixed in, you know, some Rolling Stones, some Beatles, loves Led Zeppelin, loves all the old stuff that, you know, I'm a big fan of music myself, so it's great having that that in common with my son.
So what do you do with a 10-year-old kid at a concert that you took him to? What was the name of the group?
Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses.
Yep.
I mean, do you plug his nose so he doesn't smell anything?
Well, he was 13, so
13. Okay.
Yeah, my daughter's 10, and she was too young. I wouldn't have brought her.
Okay.
But my 13-year-old, I just, you know, had to point out, no, that's what that smells like. So if you smell that, go the other direction. But you know, yeah, some things you can't avoid. Other things, kids are just.
Are you real happy that he didn't look at you and say, "Dad"?
Well,
like.
Yeah, you know, it's cool to see the impression, the impressions that are made, and the confidence that that kids come out of with that. They're, you know, he's an impressive young man, and yeah, it's fun to see him reacting to seeing new things for the first time.
My wife took our granddaughter when she was probably around 11. To a Justin Bieber concert.
Sure.
And I said, no, do not buy me a ticket. And then they told me about it afterwards in a little videotape. And
sure.
I don't know if I could have lasted very long. A lot of screaming. 13 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair, Joe Julius is my guest from Lakeville. And so, Joe, you get into high school, you're into this band, you
sure.
don't play an instrument. Did
right.
you ever want to, like, grab a guitar?
Oh, yeah. I took a few guitar lessons, and I really wanted to learn how to do it. Just wasn't that good.
No discipline,
yeah.
Yeah.
I actually, my son's got into guitar. He's a better guitarist than I ever was. So
you did play.
Well, I didn't play well, but I could pick up a guitar and play a couple things, but
okay.
not to any level where I'd perform.
Okay.
My son's not too far from that now, and you know, now it's kind of inspiring me to grab the guitar again and maybe retake some lessons. And you know, I can't let my son show me up. He's 13.
Well, maybe Steve will help you.
I should ask Steve.
There you go.
Maybe Steve and my son can form a band for next year's Taste.
So if you're the class of 99...
Yes, sir.
What was your thoughts in regards to after high school? Your mom, of course, a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
and your dad, did he have a college education?
He did, yeah.
Where did he go?
He went to Miami, Ohio.
Okay.
So.
And your mom went to William Mitchell?
You got it, yeah,
okay.
William Mitchell.
I used to go to school right across the street when I was down
okay.
on Cleveland.
Sure, sure.
And Summit Avenue.
Yeah.
10:15 on KYMN Radio. So you're the Tanya's older
mm-hmm.
by 10 years.
Yep.
Was she college bound when she got out of high school?
Yeah, she went to Gustavus.
Okay.
And
how about Kelly?
Kelly's going to be mad at me. I can't remember where she actually went to
went
to college,
but she
did go.
College.
Yeah,
okay.
She's been real successful.
And then Aaron?
Yeah, Aaron. Aaron met her husband Aaron in at Missoula out in Montana.
Okay.
So,
and was she trying to be a geotist or?
No. She's actually in the law business.
Oh, okay.
So she's practicing law. She lives out in Seattle now, or just outside Seattle on Vashon Island.
And, now you mentioned Portland.
Yeah. Yep. Lived in Portland for a little bit when I was younger.
That's the City of Roses.
It's the City of Roses. That's right.
And I've told the story before because somebody who had come from Portland, KYMN, was a rock and roll radio station in Portland, Oregon, and went to classical music, and we snapped up the call letters. So that's the way it goes in the broadcast industry. Yeah. Were you anticipating going on to college, or did you have that long hair and I can sing and I don't want to do that, I want to go clubbing?
Yeah, it was a little bit of that, and it wasn't until a little bit later on I decided I need to do some college. I need to clean up my education and cut my hair and be a professional, and it worked out okay.
Did you have any jobs in high school?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about them.
They went away for a long time, and now they've been back for a number of years. Little Caesar's Pizza. That was it. I was good at flipping dough in the air and making a pizza out of it, and that was probably my favorite job in high school.
Your friend Steve, by the way, also managed a pizza place.
Did he really?
Yeah, Pizza Hut, I think it is.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well. So you guys are gonna have something to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I can sing in the van that we put together.
Yeah. Well, it's a church group.
Well, okay. Maybe not.
Hallelujah. So you worked at Little Caesar as a driver or as a...
Nope. Just as a cook. Would make pizzas. Would ring up people at the register. Would kind of do everything. We didn't have delivery. So it was kind of anything else that could possibly be needed, we would do it. So
I did that when I was 16.
Is that right?
At a place called Angelo's on Selby and Grotto.
Oh, it just sounds like it would have good pizza.
In St. Paul. Oh, I delivered to some nice neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Sometimes they didn't have to pay for the pizza. Get out of here. What other jobs did you have while you were going through?
When I was 17 and still in high school, I started working at a bank. I worked at TCF Bank in Bloomington. I could walk down there from school. It was just down the street.
At 17?
At 17, yeah.
What kind of a job did...
Bank teller.
A bank teller?
It was a bank teller.
Under 18?
Yep. Yeah, senior in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I guess I never knew that they hired non-high school educated individuals.
As long as you were in high school, that was kind of the deal. And it's still the case today. I work for a different bank today, but we actually looked to hire a couple high school kids. And
So you didn't have the long hair anymore?
It started getting shorter and shorter systematically.
Okay.
So I worked there, and I was a bank teller, and this was one of the banks inside Cub Foods at the time.
Oh,
so
okay.
I was one of the guys that would wander around Cub Foods and stop you while you're doing your grocery shopping and try and get you to do business with us. So
what, would you hand out a card? And
basically a little bit of information, and for every person you'd bring in, you'd get $10 for bringing someone in.
What did they get?
They would get, toaster or whatever we were giving away at the time.
So you'd go up to somebody that's in the produce aisle.
Yep.
And you'd say, you know what? Before you check out of the store, here's a coupon. It's good for a free toaster at TCF Bank, and we're right by the lobby. So stop in and pick up your toaster.
It was along those lines.
That's easy.
The hardest part was always walking up to people because... you never really know what you're saying, and people don't necessarily like to be interrupted when they're doing their shopping. But you'd go up to them, you'd, introduce yourself, say why you're talking to them, see if they'd have any interest in stopping their shopping and come walk over to the bank with you and open up a bank account. And, looking back on it now, it was I don't know that that's how I would choose to do my banking, but, it worked great for TCF, and at the time, for me, it was a great way to learn whether I'm cut out to do sales or not. And, fortunately, it worked out okay for me.
Did you get a toaster?
You know what? I would pick up a thing from time to time when I do well.
All right. Good for you. Yeah. So what was your, after graduation, did you have a big party, your graduation party?
Nope, nothing big. Pretty low key. You know, I I've never really been a big party kind of guy. You know, I'm generally a fairly quiet, low-key guy.
Long hair,
yep.
Screaming songs, and you're not a party type of guy.
Yeah, that was kind of my way of, that was my social interaction kind of at the time, was doing that sort of thing.
Did you go to prom?
I did go to prom.
Yep. How many times?
I only went to prom once.
Did you ask or were you asked?
I was more of a mutual understanding. It was a.
I mean, like, what are you doing Saturday night? We might as well go to prom.
Something like it was a friend of mine that that wanted to go and didn't have anyone to go with, and I said, "Yeah, sure, why not?"
Okay. Did you wear a tux?
Oh yeah, wore a tux, had a top hat.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Long hair. Top hat. You look like Tiny Tim, or.
I like to think it looked cool, but I'm sure if I saw a picture today, I would be a little embarrassed.
Yeah. Did you? Let's find out what era you're in.
Okay.
Did you have a promenade at the high school gym where everybody walked through the flowers and stuff?
No. This was, I don't remember the venue. It was actually somewhere in Minneapolis that we had it. But I don't remember the name of the venue. It was a pretty big ordeal, though. It was pretty nice.
Ordeal.
Yeah, yeah.
Ordeal. Did you have a chauffeur-driven vehicle?
Yeah, we went with a group, and we're in a limo, and it was fun.
Did you rent a motel room?
We did rent a motel room for big group motel room, but
okay.
So that
I've heard of private motel rooms.
The condition had to be it was a big group thing. So.
Oh, that's good. At 23 minutes after 10 o'clock, we're going to get you out of the high school and into the work world. And then when did you start going to college?
Started going to college after I had my son. After my son was born, it became clear that if I really wanted to go anywhere in banking, I was going to need to continue my education. So
you were working at a bank when you got married?
I was working at a bank. Yep. Actually, I met my wife at the bank.
She, okay.
And
what's her name?
Rachel.
Rachel.
Rachel Julius.
I like those sandwiches. Okay, Rachel, and then your son's name is?
Nicholas.
You already mentioned that, yeah, but because it's the same, he's a junior.
He's a junior, that's
okay.
Right.
And you call him Nick?
I call him Nick.
Okay, and you have more children?
Yep, daughter Abigail.
Abigail?
Yep.
You call her Abby?
Yeah,
I do. Okay, how old is Abby?
Abby's 10.
And Nick is 13?
You got it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So you got married and started having a family before you went to college?
I did, yeah.
Wow, that's hard.
Yeah. In hindsight, I try and encourage my kids to maybe take care of the college and all the educational stuff first before you start having a family. But at the same time, it's great memories I always tell my son this. I was bouncing him on my lap while... At the same time, he's watching Blue's Clues and whatever kid show he wants to watch, and I'm trying to write a term paper at the same time. And you get a quick lesson in multitasking, and both are very important, so you can't ignore either. So,
what college did you go to?
I did a lot of my college online at University of Phoenix. Before that, I was doing classes up at Normandale, and did a little work at Metro State as well.
Over in St. Paul.
Correct. Just through the online platform.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah. I was working full-time at that time.
Okay. So. As a kid, you got an opportunity to learn a little bit about banking.
That's right.
Evidently, you liked it. And then you kind of put off college and then start a family. Well, now you're going to do college. What impact does it have on you when you say those three places, Phoenix, Metro, and Normandale, as opposed to St. Olaf, Carleton, University of Minnesota, Notre Dame, whatever?
Sure. You know, there's so much that's missed by doing it online. I mean, and don't get me wrong. You know, taking the classes I took online, you really get an appreciation for how self-disciplined you need to be to make sure you're doing what you need to do. People can sometimes make the assumption online classes are easy, and you know, maybe some are, but you know, I was doing accounting classes, and it's pretty easy to go wrong when you're doing accounting classes. So you really have to do your homework, you really have to study, you have to pay attention, you really have to discipline your time. And you likely have to do those same things as well at the bigger schools, at the Carletons and what have you. But you're also surrounded by your peers, which, you know, can be good or bad, but, you know, you
like... How can you be surrounded by your peers if you're sitting at home on a computer?
Well, that's what I'm saying. When you're doing it online, you really can't be.
Okay.
So if you're going to a major university in person, then...
I get it.
Yeah. So it's so that's something I have some regrets. I wish I would have experienced some of that. I really wish I would have kept up in high school and did more sports, since it still is today a passion of mine, something I love to do. That's something I would have loved to have done through high school and in college if the opportunity was there. But you make choices when you're younger and you deal with them when you're older.
So did you do TCF part-time while you were doing your online classes, and was your wife in college or working at that time?
My wife graduated from NDSU up in Fargo.
Oh, okay.
So she moved down here. I'm not sure what year she moved down here, but
down here is where?
Down to the Twin Cities from Fargo. Sorry, she's from a farm family up north.
Okay.
So we met through TCF. She was a manager at the time, and.
You married the boss?
Well, I did marry the boss, yeah.
Well, good for you. Good for you.
So, and she likes to remind me of that from time to time.
What about being a city slicker, and going to a huge spread, I assume, up in North Dakota?
Oh, yeah.
Was that this is what farming is about, is more complex?
Yeah, it's amazing how little you know until you talk to a farmer. And I have great admiration for what they do. It's so much more than what I had imagined of, you know, yeah, you plant stuff, you take care of some animals, you know, that sort of thing. You really, as, you know, growing up in the cities, you just don't think about it that much. But, you know, getting to know my brother-in-law and, you know, my father-in-law, that, man, they still farm to this day. And, you know, there's so much, you know, math, really, that goes into it. And there's so much planning and forecasting and just managing different circumstances and situations, and I have a real healthy respect for
them. Did you ever help them?
I don't think they'd want my help, but always available if needed.
How about the smell?
Yeah, so they're crop farmers, so I've kind of lucked out a little bit on that. The smell's not too bad, but... you know, I live in Elko, New Market.
You do?
Yep, and we're surrounded by farms, and every now and then you get some fun smells drifting through the air. But you get used to it. It's kind of part of the town.
Do you get used to the Saturday night Elko Speedway?
You do. You really do. You know, it's I know a lot of people in town, and there's plenty that tend to get a little frustrated with being able to go outside and not hear too much. But really, that happens so little that you just don't even think
and
about it after
who
a while.
Was there first?
Exactly. And I do a lot of work with the city, and really they're the biggest draw. They're the biggest thing that draws people into our town, and I think we need to do everything we can to support them.
You just said something interesting. You said do things for the city.
Yep.
And I would have said cities, although I know it's one, but it's still two in my head.
Yeah, it's the two towns merged about 10 years ago.
Elko, New Market.
Yep, and it's still, it's funny because if you talk to people in town, they'll ask them where they're from. Most will say Elko or New Market. They don't always bring the two together, but it is one city.
Yeah, and I, being a St. Paulite, I hate it when they say, I'm from Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Yeah, sure.
And anyhow, by the way, just a newsflash, a friend of mine, Dan Stoltz, who I saw him Friday night, he was the Commodore last year for the Aquatennial, and he's friends with Michael Vec.
Oh, okay.
And he's going to try to get Vec to come down and do a show with me.
Hey, great.
That'd be very interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm kind of looking forward to that. We're going to take a break and come back on the Wayne Eddy Affair, but first I'm going to ask my guest to see if he can cold read. Go ahead. Give a plug for for the show coming up at 11 o'clock.
Well, that would be the Ever Curious Gardener. The Ever Curious Gardener is described as an irreverent romp through the natural science of plants and soil. It's ideal for newer gardeners to experienced gardeners whose curiosity at the wonders of cultivation grows deeper each season. Oh, today's 15th.
15 with the author.
Today is 15 with the author, Lee Reich. Am I saying that right? Lee Reich, the author of The Ever Curious Gardener. Using a little natural science for a much better gardener is Terry Knight's guest at 11 o'clock. They talk about why gardeners and farmers shouldn't till soil, the timing of watering weeds, how to use microclimates in our landscape, and much more.
All right.
I think I butchered that pretty good.
Yes, you did. It's time to watering weeds. I think it's time to watering and weeds. And as far as the name goes, it's looks like it's pronounced Reish. Okay. We'll find out at 11 o'clock this morning on 15 with the author. On your radio station, we are the one, 95.1 FM. We'll be back in just a moment.
Millstream Commons Assisted Living is where the all-star seniors enjoy life in Northfield. From the delicious meals, the bright, spacious apartments, the volunteer projects, the bus trips we take, classes we attend, and the music we enjoy, there's something for everyone. At Millstream Commons, we treat everyone like an MVP. For more information, call 507-650-0141.
Your home, auto, and life are important to you. That's why the Northfield Insurance Agency works hard to provide you with the right protection. Kevin and Stan offer the products you need with the premier service you deserve. They carry business, auto, farm, homeowners, commercial, and bonds. Northfield Insurance is your independent agent, and they're connected with many insurance companies providing you with the lowest possible rates. That's the Northfield Insurance Agency.
We're back. The time is 10:32:52, almost 10:33 on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Plenty of sunshine out there right now coming through. Beautiful day today and for the rest of the week, by the way. My guest this morning is a fellow named Joe Julius. He is the chairperson of the Taste of Lakeville, which will be held this Thursday from, is it 5 to 9 or 6 to 10?
No, you got it. It's 5 to 9.
5 to 9, okay. And we're chit-chatting about his life and his wife, Rachel, and his two kids, Nick and Abby. So you went to the online schools, and you're telling Nick and Abby, you know, maybe you might want to go, you better earn a lot of money if you're going to send them off.
Right, right.
So you get a bachelor degree in accounting or banking?
Associate's degree in banking. I still should go back and finish my bachelor, but okay. That'll probably be something that and this is pretty unconventional, but wait for my kids to get through their school. Right now, their school is going to be the bigger priority than mine. So
what bank do you, let's find out. Sure. You started at TCF.
Yep.
And then where, too?
I worked for TCF for about 10 years. Then
full-time?
Full-time.
So you had
primarily
benefits and health insurance.
Correct.
And all the
correct.
Good stuff. Okay.
Yep.
Now, of course, they dominate the University of Minnesota
they do.
Campus. Is every ATM machine a TCF?
It was at the time. I don't know if it is today. I would imagine it still is. That was something that the bank took a lot of pride in their relationship with.
Oh, sure. That's part of the deal.
Absolutely.
That stadium was not cheap.
No. It okay. definitely wasn't.
So did you stay with TCF all your career?
No. I worked there for about 10 years.
Okay.
Then moved over to a bank called Bank of the West, which they're not real prevalent in this market. They came into this market new and were hoping to make a big splash. That was 2008. It was 2008 when I went there. And as you well know, as many well know, that was not a great time to be in the banking industry.
In 2008, oh, gosh, yeah.
So it didn't work out. I decided to leave there, and then shortly thereafter, the bank...
How many branches did they have?
They had six in the Twin Cities market. They were much, much bigger out west, and the name would...
Yeah, Bank of the West, yeah. You know.
California, you know, at that time, they were the third largest bank in California. Denver had a good presence, but never really...
I would almost be insulted to do banking at Bank of the West.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Bank of the Midwest, but...
Yeah, every now and then people would make a comment, and I always assume if someone makes a comment, there's probably 20 more that aren't making the comment but are thinking the same thing, so... You know, it was a good experience for me. That was my first time getting into lending. I got
in 2008.
Oh, yeah.
God.
You know, looking back on it now, it was such a different way, in really a beneficial way of learning about lending. And you know, my role today is primarily business lending and working with businesses and working with their balance sheets and P&Ls and helping them get what they want to do. But, you know, at that time, you're seeing all the bad things. You know, you're having underwriters pointing out every little thing that looks wrong on a balance sheet. And so it's a different way of learning how to be a lender. But, you know, I think it in the long run, it makes us a little bit better at our jobs.
My wife worked for a lending institution. Not with a fixed, not mortar and whatever.
Brick and mortar.
But she was doing real well.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah.
And then that bank actually caught it well before most other banks.
Good.
And by the way, you say you're from Elkhorn New Market.
Yes, sir.
Did you buy a foreclosure?
I did not buy a foreclosure. We built our house in 2013.
Okay, but that was a good question.
It was a good question.
Because of the situation over there happened back and forth. So after Bank of the West, where'd you go?
Well, for the last 6 years, I've been with a New Market Bank. So we're a small community bank, just three locations, Lakeville, Prior Lake, and, of course, Elko New Market. We just opened a new office there a week ago. So so I do a lot of the business lending and work, cover all of our locations with that. And, that's what I've been doing for the last 6 years.
Where is the bank building?
So we built a build. Are you familiar with the Elko New Market much?
That's okay. Sure am. Yeah.
On the west side of town, there is a. We just built a new facility in kind of an anchor tenant in a strip mall type fashion. So there's a few other tenants.
In Elko?
Yep. Just opened a week ago.
Okay.
So.
Oh, that's why I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. On the west side, that'd be the same side as the feedlot then.
Kind of. Correct. Yeah. It's just on the west end of County Road 2.
Okay. And
now we had the downtown office that was our original office that opened in 1905.
Where?
In downtown Elko New Market. At that time, just New Market.
Okay. Oh, just New Market.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So there's if you ever drive through County Road 2, there's a main strip of town with a handful of businesses and a bunch of other stuff.
In which
going
town?
On. Elko New Market.
Okay. Yeah, because Elko is off to the.
Elko's closer to 35. Yeah. And New Market's.
And it's on the southern side of 2.
It's actually on the northern side.
Elko?
Oh, I thought we were talking about the bank still. Sorry.
I'm talking about Elko.
Yes, you're right. Correct. Okay. Correct.
They have the trailer dealership,
yep.
And then they have a bar restaurant.
Yep.
And then they have the downtown. You can go downtown past the track or before
yep.
that.
Okay. Yeah, old downtown Elko. Okay. It's there's a few bars.
I used to have a lot of fun there on Saturday nights.
It's a lot of people still having fun down there.
Yeah, I used to work out at the Speedway.
Was that right?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
I did the track announcings for a couple decades.
Did you
every
really?
Every Saturday night, yeah. I love racing. Yeah. Except I'm a dummy. NASCAR, the monster, Cup was Saturday night, and I thought it was Sunday.
Oh, no.
So I didn't get to see it.
Oh, bummer.
But same old winners.
Yeah.
I didn't win anything. So do you have any tales from the Elko New Market area that maybe some farmers told you about various individuals, like the guy that owns used to own the bar on the right-hand side just as you get into New Market?
You know, there's a... There's a handful of people, you know, that I think the bar you're referring to is the End Zone. And
I'm talking New Market.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, so
on the right-hand side.
Oh, okay. Right. Wait, I'm thinking of the bar right when you come off the freeway that you
No,
that you
that's
see.
On the left-hand side okay. in Elko.
Yep, yep.
Don't you know where the bars are in those towns?
Yeah, there's about seven.
Yeah. But
Leo's Bar, I think
yes,
that's probably
yes.
what you're referring to.
Yep, I can't remember his last name, but when I hear it, I know it. But yeah, Leo, he was quite the character. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, my wife's gone in there a handful of times. I've gone in there a time or two. It's a fun little bar. And, you know, we're a small community, and it's, you see that when you go into the different venues. There's, you know, Captain Black's, there's Bullseye's, there's
oh, yeah.
Zone, there's
oh, yeah.
Leo's, there's, you know. There,
and there's one that was torn down since I used to go out there and do
okay.
the races.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know.
George's. It was called George's.
George's. Oh, okay.
That's a long time ago, 40 years ago.
Double Wide was one I was at just this past weekend, and it's you know, they're all fun bars, and they all represent the town from a social standpoint. I think fairly well. I mean, they're not they're all pretty well kept up. And
what's the one that would be in New Market on the west end on the north side? And it opened, closed, and then reopened, and it's a really nice restaurant.
Well, that's ran by my good friend Kate Timmerman. That's a Firehouse restaurant.
Yeah, Firehouse.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kate and Greg own that and operate it and just do a great
that
job.
That is a really nice place.
Oh, yeah.
I was surprised that it switched over so quickly, comparatively speaking.
Yeah, it was a pizza place for a while, and that's kind of what they're famous for. The prior owner of it still lives in town, still drives around the Firehouse Pizza yeah. truck. You see that from time to time. But no, Kate and Greg have just done a fantastic job with it. It's a great venue. I know they've just been packed with different events and stuff that they've been hosting. But it's probably our best family friendly restaurant to go to. You know, I know they had a big Mother's Day brunch yesterday, and yeah, full bar.
Do you ride a motorcycle?
I don't. No.
Because that's a nice destination for rides.
Absolutely.
I mean, because it's a big parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. We're going to take a brief break. We'll be back in just a minute on the Wayne Eddy Affair.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
Spring is finally here and summer won't be far behind. We all know this means road trips and road construction. The crew at Witt Brothers Service in Northfield would like to remind everyone that they are going to be open during construction while both 7th and Division Streets surrounding Witt Brothers is repaired. Please call 507-645-7242 to set up your appointment and they will let you know what driveway will be open for you to use. Don't forget, it is best to have your vehicle checked out before you head out of town on your road trip for a worry-free vacation.
16 minutes before it is 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Good morning, everybody. Once again, my guest, Joe Julius from Elko New Market and also the Lakeville Rotary Club. And they're having their Taste of Lakeville this coming Thursday from 5 until 9. We'll talk a little bit more about that before Joe goes. And, you know, there's a Lions Club. That is called the New Lions Club,
right.
And it would be, what was it? It's Elko, Webster, and New Market. Yeah, New Market,
correct.
Elko, and Webster, the New Lions Club. And I was president of the Northfield Lions Club when that Lions Club got started.
No kidding.
And there was another good group.
Sure.
I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. They do a lot for our community.
So anyhow, as you're moving along here, and how long have you lived in Elko, New Market?
Closed in our house December of 13. So at the end of this year, it'll be 5 years.
5 years?
Yep.
Okay. And with, before they switched and made it one community, what community would you be living in?
Shakopee.
Where'd that come from?
Well, back in 2002, my wife and I were newly married and looking to build a house, and thought building a townhouse in Shakopee would be a great long-term investment. Shakopee has grown leaps and bounds since, but you know, it was that was kind of the place to go to. They're the fastest-growing city in Scott County. You know, we had a number of friends that were heading out that way, and thought, well, let's do this. So we bought built our townhomes in a townhome development, and you know, had a good long time there that we enjoyed very much.
Did you sell it to a jockey?
No, I wish we. We sold it at the worst possible time to sell a townhome.
2009, 2010?
Yeah, 2013, that spring is when we sold it. Yeah. And, hey, it is what it is.
And
it
and that's when you moved to the Elko New Market?
That's correct.
Okay, now, before they switched it to Elko New Market, would you be living in Elko or New Market?
I would be in Elko.
Elko.
Be on the Elko side.
Okay. So that was that a were you around when they made that change, or had it already been done?
No, that was about 10 years ago. Actually, probably 11 years ago now. We just had a big 10-year celebration thing of that last year. So
if you were a politician back then, would you have said, yep, I think we should get together and combine our community into one zip code or whatever they call it?
Yeah, well, I get the advantage of looking at it through hindsight, but it was, you know, without delving too deep into it, it was a really smart financial decision for both cities. You know, you had one city was on the precipice of going through some real economic struggles, you know, expenses far outpacing what their tax revenue was being. That was going to have a negative detriment, and you know, the other side had their own financial issues, and you know, just made a lot of sense to cut back on, you know, duplicating services and kind of combine them all into one. So, you know, it wasn't popular at the time. If I was a politician at the time, I don't know. I like to think I would have made the right decision, but there was and the right decision, in my opinion, would be to merge them. But you know, I have a lot of respect for the mayors of both cities at that time, because it was not a very popular decision. But I'm glad we came together as a community.
Have you ever thought about politics yourself?
I have.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I've served on our city council for the last few years. Won a re-election just a year ago for my seat, and I'm running for mayor this upcoming November.
For mayor?
For mayor, yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many sit on the city council?
We have 5 on the city council, including the mayor.
So the mayor would be the tiebreaker on stuff.
Yeah, I mean, with the way our city works is the mayor has the same number of votes as anyone else in the council, so there's not a lot more pull that a mayor has than a ordinary council member. That said, you know, the mayor has an important role of representing the community.
It's interesting you said doesn't have any more pull.
Right.
P-U-L-L. And I'm thinking, yeah. P-O-L-L.
Oh.
In that the mayor doesn't have to vote until the votes are cast.
No, yeah, Mayor.
And if it's 3-1, you don't even have to vote.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Unless you need a supermajority, and I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, yeah. There's certain circumstances where if we're short a council member and there is a tie vote, the mayor does get to break the tie. That hasn't happened yet, and you know, we have a pretty good. Our council does a pretty good job of showing up and taking their job seriously and voting.
So what made you want to be a mayor of a community of how many hundreds or thousands?
We're right around 4,800 for population.
Okay.
And, you know, we're a bedroom community. I mean, that is what we are, and that's okay. But being so close to Lakeville, being so close to a city that has 60,000 people in it, you know, it's been a struggle for us to get businesses in town and to develop that city into where a lot of us want it to be. Now you have to be smart about that. You can't, throw money at whatever project you'd like to see just so growth happens. You want to be smart about how you spend your tax dollars and how you bring in new investors into the community. And I think with my experience, I that's something that's a strength of mine. That's something that I've done well at for a number of years now. And our current mayor, I think, is a really hard worker and a good guy. But that's not his strength. So I think I can bring some more strength to that area that our city really needs at this time.
Paid for by Joe Julius for mayor.
That'll
happen
the
in the future.
Plug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm generations, at least two generations ahead of you, and I remember when Lakeville was a bedroom community, and Burnsville, Apple Valley.
Sure.
And I was working in the at the racetrack. Back when, I mean, it were farms and the little place on the south end of Elko.
Sure.
And sometimes I approach that from the south and from the west, and it's pretty interesting. The roads back in there. Remember that big party they had? Wasn't there some shoot up at a big party out in that area a while back? Couple years ago, maybe last summer,
a big shootout at a party. I mean, there's been a few things here and then. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, we are a pretty safe community. I think we're nationally rated the eighth safest community.
This would have been out in the country.
Okay.
Big party house.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Found it, and it was out on dirt roads and all that. Not
sure.
In town.
Okay.
In town.
Okay. Yeah, no. I don't know if I remember that one.
Yeah, I wish I could remember, but it was people from the cities out in the country and shootings and it was. I don't know that much about it, so I'll shut up.
All right.
I do want to have one more break before we wrap up our conversation with Joe Julius. But first of all, we want to hear from Leif, and we also want to hear from the folks over at Three Links.
The Connects Nurseries Garden Center on Highway 19 West in Northfield carries a huge inventory of perennials, shrubs, and trees for every landscaping need, including proven winners, color choice, flowering shrubs. Connects Nurseries in Northfield is open 7 days a week from April to November and features proven winners, color choice shrubs, so you can choose from the newest and best flowering shrub varieties. Shop Connects Nurseries in Northfield for the best selection, quality, and value, including proven winners shrubs.
Three Links Auxiliary and Greenvale Park Elementary PTO will be co-hosting a fundraising rummage sale on Friday, May 18th, 8 to 5, and Saturday, the 19th, 8 to 2. It's located at our lodge on the corner of Oddfellows Lane and Highway 19 across from Post Brands. In the main room, everything is just a dollar. The treasure room will have special prices. We'll be serving walking tacos and treats. You'll find clothing, houseware, decor, books, puzzles, bed, bath, collectibles, a variety of perennials, and much more.
Hey, everybody, we're back, and it's 6.5 minutes before 11 o'clock, and my guest this morning is a fellow by the name of Joe Julius. We set Joe up, Steve did, a fellow Rotarian from Lakeville, several weeks ago, and you said you got online and listened to one of my interviews with a fellow that was the former president of the Northfield Hockey Association.
Sure.
And he's a patent lawyer.
Okay.
And
yeah. Maybe Chris Sorensen?
Yeah, that's
right?
It.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was listening to that yesterday before I, just to get a feel. I am embarrassed to say I wasn't too familiar with the show prior to knowing that I was coming on. And, I've listened in the past when you've had other people on from Lakeville Rotary to promote. And so we were talking off air. I love the song that you used for the intro.
Yeah, Dwayne Eddy and Rebel Rouser. Boing, boing. You want a story about that?
Yeah, please.
So I'm lobbying out in Washington, D.C. with Dave Durenberger, Senator Durenberger.
Sure.
And we were going up to the cafeteria and we went to the elevators, senators only. Oh, this is cool. Get on the elevator, and there's the late Ted Kennedy.
Oh.
And so Senator David introduced me and said, Wayne Eddy. But Kennedy said, oh, Dwayne Eddy, bow, 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 bow. And so we're doing this on the elevator. And anyhow, it's enough about me. It's let's talk about you. What do you think of me? No, that's a joke.
Okay, all right.
He was ready to say something.
No, I had all sorts of good things to say.
Well, let's talk about, let's do a wrap-up on what's coming up. That's the purpose of your being here, and it's a good deal. And do you care to mention how much you clear spendable income that you generate in these 4 hours every year?
Very proud to mention it. Last year we netted $130,000 plus. And all that money goes right back into the community. Our Rotary Foundation over the years has given a lot back. I want to say Lakeville Schools is probably our biggest benefactor. We are very, very involved with them in the means of scholarships, different programs, and what have you. Do a lot of things for the city as well with the parks area and just other different projects. But yeah, $130,000 was last year, so we have a hopefully can beat that this year.
That is just amazing. And I have to say that some of it is through the generosity of members. And but I mean, you think about a 4-hour event. That's minimizing it because you guys work on this year round,
sure,
getting sponsors, getting things lined up, and various things. But man, to have one event for 4 hours and net $130,000 is just beyond me. That is amazing.
Well, we take a lot of pride in it, and appreciate opportunities like this to come and talk with yourself and your listeners about the event. And it's all about generosity and kindness and giving back, and that's what Rotary is all about. And we do everything we can to help with that.
Well, you know what? I would like to make a challenge.
Okay,
I will give the Rotary Club $25,000 if you get up with Steve Hocker and do a Marilyn Manson number or Nine Inch Nails.
Okay. Well, I Nine Inch Nails is the first concert I ever went to when I was a teenager. So I'll talk to Steve, see what we can put together.
There is one thing that I have to mention that is a must.
Sure.
Okay, you have to do it this Thursday.
Okay.
On the stage.
Okay.
And you have to have naturally long hair to the shoulder.
Okay, I don't know what I can do there, but can Steve have the long hair? He's grown. He's got it a little longer than mine.
No, I it's the only way I would do it.
Right. We'll see what we can figure
and
out.
And if it's some magic way that could happen, I would be writing a check that wouldn't be worth much. So what's a bank you work at?
Newmarket Bank.
Newmarket Bank in Newmarket.
Yeah, my office in Lakeville.
Well, I got to remember, it's two cities, okay.
It's okay.
Your office in Lakeville.
My office is in Lakeville, but I cover all of them, so I spend I like to spend a lot of time as I can in the market office.
Are you the man? I mean, are you like the president of the association?
No. I'm a manager. No, I oversee...
Vice president.
I'm a vice president, and I oversee the branch managers. But my primary role is to go out and produce business for the bank and find new customers to... I like to say that I can sell money to.
Yeah, and how many sites do you have?
We have three locations.
Three.
Yep.
Lakeville. Newmarket.
In Prior Lake.
Yep. Okay. Which of the communities is richer, do you think? Prior Lake or Lakeville?
Well, I would actually...
When I say rich, I mean,
I would say, actually, Elko New Market has the highest highest median income of the three. So.
Isn't it? Nobody guessed that.
No. It's Prior Lake's pretty darn close, and someone will probably argue with me that Prior Lake is higher, but I'm going to be biased and go with Elk and New Market.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And on your way back to the New Market, wherever you're going from here, stay tuned to 1080 AM or 95.1 FM because 15 with the author is next. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
This is your radio station, KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota, the one, 95.1 FM, 1080 AM. It is 11 o'clock.
It's time for 15 with the Author, hosted by Terry Knight. Join Terry as she opens the cover on a different book each week and talks with the author about their book, their life, and their message. Take a deeper look under the cover with Terry.
The ever-curious gardener is described as an irreverent romp through the natural science of plants and soil, ideal for newer gardeners moving beyond back-of-the-seed-pack planting to experienced gardeners whose curiosity at the wonders of cultivation grows deeper and stronger with each season. Today, Lee Reich, the author of The Ever-Curious Gardener, Using a Little Natural Science for a Much Better Garden, is my guest. Welcome to the show, Lee.
Thanks for having me.
Your list of credentials is large and would lead one to think, coming from academia, you would really not be that funny, but you are.
Thanks.
The Ever-Curious Gardener really is delightfully readable to the layman. Was that a part of your goal, kind of reaching out to those who simply